Wintrust Business Lunch is here. I'm John Williams. Pete Zimmerman's your producer. Call 312-981-7200 with your questions. If you want to be on the phone, it's the same number as the text line, 312-981-7200. Syndicated columnist Terry Savage, terrysavage.com, joins us on Wednesdays. Okay, Terry, I know you got a lot on your mind. How are you today?
I'm fine, and I'm happy because, you know, usually when I'm talking about the IRS in April, I'm cringing. They're taking my money, your money. But today, they're giving away lots and lots of money. So let me give you some really good news headlines from
okay.
the IRS.
All right.
The first is that today, they were sending out 25 million more payments. 24 million of them are direct deposit payments, totaling $33 billion. 1 million of those 25 are checks and debit cards, about $3 billion worth going out. Low-income Social Security recipients who didn't file a tax return but just wait for their stimulus, the $1,400, to come to their Social Security account, you're going to start seeing them. Now, it might not hit your account today. It may take a few more days. It may come just at the same time as your monthly benefit, but it's on the way real quickly. SSDI, the disability income recipients, supplemental security income recipients, railroad retirement recipients, the VA benefits, people who are, in many cases, haven't filed tax returns, those people will start getting their $1,400. So you can start looking today. Don't call me if it's not till next Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. And I'll give you two more.
Okay.
Remember the $10,200 that came about in the American Recovery Act that said, well, you don't have to pay taxes on unemployment benefits with $10,200. By then, many people had filed their tax returns and paid taxes on that $10,200. The IRS says it's going to automatically start refunds in May. That'll go out through the summer. And so you don't have to do anything or refile. It may, in fact, what they're going to do is sort of erase $10,200 from your income. And that might also increase some refundable credits that you would be getting, like the earned income credit. If you haven't gotten any other refundable credits, like earned income and so forth, you might want to take a look at your tax return and see if dropping the income by $10,200 makes you eligible for some other tax benefits. Contact your tax preparer. Now, one more.
Okay.
Oh, no, two more.
All right.
One more.
10 more. I don't care.
A lot of people, we've had a lot of callers that said, I got this odd amount for my stimulus check.
Yeah.
So the $1,400.
Yep.
We said, okay. So the IRS first looked at the 2019 returns, and if it looked like you only got a partial stimulus payment, they sent it out. Now they are automatically looking at your 2020 returns as they are filed, cross-checking and going, oh, they didn't qualify in 2019, but those poor people, 2020 was a horrible year. They're below the limit. They should get the full $1,400 or $2,800 on a joint return, and they will automatically send you a check for the difference. So those are going out starting today. They expect about $2 billion in what they call plus-up benefits.
Wow. Terry, I want to ask you about that. Is that plus-up that you just described for 2020, the full $1,400, is that regardless of whether or not you filed or filled out your income taxes for 2020?
No, they're going to look at your 2020 return. That's the only way they know it. So they're going to keep scanning. In other words, they sent you a check for $982, and you go, oh, but that was my 2019 return where I earned above $75,000. And I had a terrible year in 2020. I only earned $42,000. They're going to automatically look at your 2020 return, cross-check it with the stimulus benefit they paid you, and for the $1,400, that they'll automatically send you the difference. If, in fact, now, think about this, you didn't get the full first $1,200 or the January full $600, and your 2020 return, which you're just filed or filing now, shows you below $75 or $150 on a joint return, you should have claimed the difference on line 30. Or if you never got either of them and 2020's income is below the limit, you should be claiming that on line, our infamous line 30. So this relates to the current $1,400 stimulus. If they sent you out a partial one in the last 2 months based on 2019 and you file 2020, you're clearly under the income limits. You don't have to do anything. They're going to go scanning them and sending you additions, plus-ups, they call it.
One last question about all this, Terry. Then we'll pause And then we'll come back with some questions from our listeners, including some thoughts from you about college tuition, student loans, and taxes. I know you just dropped a piece on that as well. The number's 312-981-7200. Terry Savage, your Wednesday guest. Terry, I just wanted to mention one thing for you to comment on, and then we'll go to calls as quickly as you can and like. But it sure sounds like you have a lot of confidence in the IRS's ability to manage all of these moving parts you've described. Stimulus checks, tax refunds, people that were low-income earners. And it sounds terribly complex to me, but it sounds like if we're all patient and filling out our tax forms, it's probably going to go okay. Is that your assessment?
Yeah, that's so interesting that you would say that, because yes, it's impossible to get through to the IRS. And yes, I know a lot of you out there are going, wait, I didn't even get my 2019 refund yet. A lot of that was because you filed on paper, ditto for 2020. You have to file electronically now and put your banking information in if you're going to hope to get a refund. But I have incredible confidence. I mean, I used to have incredible fear that anything that I would ever do wrong, and I think appropriately, would be caught by the IRS. That would be horrible. I think they're very efficient. And they have been technologically very competent. You know, on a scale of 1 to 100, I would give them a 97. And Illinois Department of Employment Security, I would give a minus 9 for competence and technology. So, yeah, I have new and greater respect for the IRS. And I'm not just saying that because I hope they're listening. But I want to tell you one more thing about the IRS before we go to questions.
All right.
This is anybody old enough to remember this knows how old I am then. This is your lucky strike extra from the IRS today. A new press release came out this morning, and it blew me away. I'm talking to 1.3 million people out there. They're not all in our audience, but they have unclaimed 2017 refunds that are going to default to the Treasury. They're unclaimed because you didn't file a 2017 return. And if you don't file your 2017 return by May 17th, which is 3 years from the original due date, you're going to lose not only the refund, but many of those refunds included refundable credits. The earned income tax credit could be worth up to $6,000 on a return. They say the midpoint in the amount of refunds is $865. So you need to go and file your 2017 tax return. If you've procrastinated that long, you're just giving money back to the government. Go to irs.gov/freefile, and you will find resources that can help you. If your income's below $72,000, they'll help you do a free filing and get that money back. So the IRS, I always used to hate April because it was, the IRS, I don't like that, they're taking my money. And now I like April for the IRS this year because, yay, the IRS are sending out money and they're doing it efficiently.
And they've extended the deadline anyway. It's not even April 15th this year, right?
Exactly. It's May 17th. So they're being very, I mean, obviously it was the Recovery Act, but the Congress had voted this, but the IRS is finally getting, smiles on people's faces instead of frowns.
Colleen has a question for Terry Savage. Colleen, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm going to retire next year after 40 years working for a county, and I pay into something called Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund for myself and for a spouse, which I don't have. So when I retire, I'm going to have around $50,000 that's going to be given to me. I can take that in increments of $300 for the rest of my life, which I don't want to do. I'd rather get it quicker and faster. Is there anything I can put that into so I could draw out maybe $6,000 to $10,000 a year so I could travel and do things?
What's the total amount you're going to get? $50,000?
Around $50,000.
Okay, so let's just say if you got $100,000 and you wanted $6,000 or $7,000, what did you say, $6,000 or $7,000 a year? Would imply a 6% return. Now, you might get that in the stock market or you might not. In a bank, you're going to get like a half of 1%. Let me ask you one question first. Are you allowed to roll that out in a qualified basis and put it in an IRA since
that's
been going tax deferred?
I think maybe yes.
Yeah.
And that's the most important thing you can do. Call Fidelity or Vanguard. Roll it into an IRA. I can't advise you on how to diversify that, but you're going to get a fixed check for life from the balance of your pension. That will be eaten away even at only 3% inflation. In 25 years, the spending power will be cut in half. If you don't have any other mutual fund or stock market investments. Not saying the market's going straight up from here or down and then up. But over the long run, you probably want to have a diversified portfolio, like an equity income fund, a little more conservative stock market fund inside that IRA. Then you can take withdrawals, but remember that'll all be taxed as ordinary income.
Yeah, but you don't want to. You don't want this for the rest of your life. You want this for the next few years while you can travel. You want to spend $6,000 chunks of it. Is that right, Colleen?
That's absolutely correct, because I've already got Social Security and a pension. I just have worked for 40 years,
Sure. Roll it over. If you want to take it out all in the next 3 or 4 or 5 years, then don't take any stock market risk, because the time you want to take that trip might be when the market's down and it'll cost you to take it out. But put half of it in an equity income fund, half of it in a money market fund, in an IRA rollover account. Do it at Fidelity or Vanguard. Once you're over 59 and a half, there's no penalty for taking the money out, and all you need to do is pay the income taxes when you do.
Perfect. Thank you. That's what I needed. Thank you both so much. I appreciate your help.
Yeah, thanks for the phone call. So then you'll pay taxes on that at the tax bracket that you're in, though, right?
Exactly. It'll be taxed on top of your other ordinary income when you're retired. Presumably that goes down.
And is there any way to minimize the tax? If you got 50 grand and it's going to be taxed at 20-some percent, there goes 10,000.
It is what it is. Hey, listen, 20% is a really low tax rate, historically speaking. Don't forget, and when Kennedy became president, the top tax rate for the highest earners was 91%.
How much sympathy do you have for businesses that don't want to pay 28?
Oh, that's a real long philosophical argument. I think all businesses should pay something, and I think we have to be competitive in the world. But that's a profound philosophical
argument.
All right,
never mind. I'll have it stricken from the record. All right, then we'll take calls. Jackie, you're on WGN. How can we help you, Jackie? You're on the air.
Hi. I filed my son's income taxes electronically, and I know you've been saying I included his unemployment in with that, and you said be patient. He just keeps calling me. So is the IRS actually going to figure out how to give him back whatever extra taxes?
And they're starting right now. Yes. Did the $10,200 put him over? First of all, he filed independently. He's not your dependent.
No.
Okay. And did he make over $75,000 for the year?
No.
Okay. He's going to get it's $150,000 limit for claiming that $10,200. When they see his 2020 return, they're going to say, this guy didn't take off $10,200 of his income. We'll take it off for him. Oops, he overpaid. We will send him a refund. And they are going to start doing that right now, and it should happen starting in May in the next few weeks or June or July. But they're on top of it. It's automatic. Tell them to be patient. Don't let the money burn a hole in the stock.
And if I may,
I printed your response the one time that said don't worry about it. He's fairly young, and this is the first time, of course, he's been in unemployment, luckily.
Sure, sure. But I want to ask both of you this question. So if he is able to subtract $10,200, did he receive that much in unemployment, $10,200?
No, he actually only received $8,000 in unemployment. He was only off 4 weeks.
Okay, but say $8,000. So $8,000 then, Terry, gets subtracted from his income. He doesn't have to pay taxes on that. He already did. And that would represent about $2,000 that he would get back then. Say, right, I'm doing a fourth of that.
But he's probably only in the 20% tax bracket, so a little less.
$1,600, something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's so
but,
it means.
You know what he should, if you want to teach your son a good lesson, he did make some money last year besides the $8,000 in unemployment benefits that he got.
Yes.
He worked part of the year?
Yeah, he worked before that 4 weeks, and he worked the 4 weeks, after
right.
the 4 weeks.
You know what he should do? Listen to the advice. I don't know if you heard it that I just gave the previous caller. Contact Fidelity. Tell him to take at least $1,000 of that refund he's going to get from not having to pay taxes on it. Open an individual retirement account. And if you can help him, fine. But if not, challenge him to put at least $1,000 in every year. If he put $2,000, how old is he?
He's 40.
Okay. He should be building up a retirement account now. And if he doesn't have one, and that extra $1,600 he's going to get back is coming as a complete surprise, even though he's stressed out now, he should put $1,000 of it into an IRA before May 17th. So it would be a deduction on this year's tax return.
Okay, Mom. All right. Thank you for the advice. And it sounds good. We got to take a break. Terry Savage is on a phone line, 312-981-7200. Terry, we're going back to the phones now. Before okay. we do so, though, do you want to say anything about the piece you wrote on college tuition?
It's a very complex subject. I made two points. The first half of it was, oh, my goodness, now we're getting kids being accepted to college right now. In fact, Harvard sent out its admissions last night. So by now, just about everybody who's going to be admitted is admitted, and I want parents to look very carefully at the gap between what the school is offering in financial aid and what federal financial aid and what you have, because taking on private loans and co-signing loans and so forth is like the Roach Motel of personal finance. You get in debt, it's almost impossible to get out. Instead, contact the school, especially if your situation has changed because of COVID and layoffs and not going back to work maybe, and say, is there any way you can help us fill this gap? Otherwise, Junior can't go to your school and he wants to. That's the first part. The second part is a list of deductions you can take on your taxes for tuition and for student loan interest. So it's at terrysavage.com. But I'd rather talk to everybody, so go read it if you're interested.
Some of the schools are not requiring standardized test scores, too, for admissions. I heard Andrea Darlis talk to Anna DeVlantis the other day. Interesting piece. University of Illinois will find a way to admit you, but your ACT or SAT will not be part of the admissions process because of the compromised learning.
So guess what's happened? Lots and lots of students are throwing applications in at schools where their advisors would have said, hey, Susie, with your SATs, you couldn't possibly get in. Don't bother applying there. So the schools are overwhelmed. They are admitting a lower percentage of applicants, believe it or not, but they're still very concerned about filling their classes because they don't know if some parents won't be able to afford it, et cetera. So this is the perfect moment to ask respectfully, if your kid wants to go to school X, but the gap is $18,000 a year, and school Y is only a $9,000 gap that you'll have to figure out how to finance, call school X and say, Susie really wants to go here. Is there any merit aid, any other kind of aid possibly? Because, look, our situation has changed. I guess I'm not getting called back to work so soon. That stuff. Do that now.
BJ's on a phone line for Terry Savage. BJ, how can we help you? You're on the air.
Oh, hi. Asking for a bunch of people, I guess. Just want to know, and Terry, I know you and I listen to you all the time. You're great. What happens if you never received your $600 stimulus check? And what happens if you never received your $1,400 so far and you paid all your bills? I owe the last bill to Maria Pappas Treasurer's office. And it's less than the other three payments I've already made, but it's not enough to hold up your payment. I'm paying it. Everything's on time. All the bills are paid. What do you do? I haven't received either of the last two checks.
Well, first of all, number one, did you file your 2020 return yet?
Yes. Everything. I have an accountant. She's great. She did 20 and 21 and
everything.
Stop. First of all, your accountant should have claimed the $600 on line 30 of your return.
Did she do that?
Yep.
Yes, she did.
Fine. Then that should come along, or it should offset any taxes you owed. Number two, you're talking about
property. No, they owe me taxes. I'm paid overpaid, and they owe me, a couple hundred dollars.
Then it will come. It's on its way. The $600 plus any tax refund is on its way to you. Be patient. Okay, there was another thing I wanted to comment. Oh, the $1,400 should also be on its way to you, especially if you filed 2020 return. Did you file electronically, and did you put your banking direct deposit in?
Yes, she did. Uh-huh.
Okay.
And
Patience. But I want to say something because I was on TV this morning talking about the property taxes, and I didn't see this on their return. If you you have through May 3rd, to file your first installment of Cook County property taxes with no late fees. But this is a property taxes and mortgage foreclosures, that's going to digress for a minute, are going to be the big story later this spring.
Yeah.
First of all, property taxes. You're not alone in not being able to pay it all. The Drake Hotel, the Hilton Hotel, Cranes did a big story about big businesses not coming up with their property taxes. Many individuals, they haven't had property tax sales in a couple of years. I don't think that's going to happen right away, but that does expose your entire home if you can't pay your property taxes. And so far, the only relief we've gotten is you have a grace period till May 3rd without late fees. That's really important. And if you're in behind in a mortgage, I just want to say to everybody, that mortgage foreclosure protection on federal loans is set to expire June 30th. There's a move afoot to get that postponed till the end of the year.
Yep.
But you need to talk with your mortgage servicer. Don't get behind. These are your biggest assets, your home. And you want to make sure you do, you're at least communicating about your problems paying your bills.
Bankrate had a piece about how when this forbearance ends, watch out, because we've got a motherload of money that people are due
yeah.
that they may not be able to pay.
Exactly. So I have a feeling this administration will come up. Here are the challenges facing this administration immediately, okay, financial ones. First of all, the eviction provisions are held up by the CDC, believe it or not. They say we can't evict people because it's bad for our health. Mm-hmm. So that's been postponed. Next will be the mortgage foreclosure issue that'll come up again this spring because it'll be an important one in terms of the issue of forcing people out of their homes, and it ends currently at the end of June. Next will be student loans. Student loan protections will expire in fall, and surely they will come through with something that allows some form of forgiveness or something else. This administration has a lot in front of them in terms of these things, and property taxes are a county and local issue. I don't know how you pay the police and fire if you're not collecting the property taxes. So I respect and admire Maria Pappas, but if the Hilton Hotel can't pay its taxes and the Drake Hotel and you or anybody else, the city and the county, I should say, are going to be in real trouble. So we're going to have plenty of financial headlines on this macro issue of what's going to happen next.
I don't know what you do, though. You foreclose on those properties, homes or hotels. Someone's got to buy them. Really? Is that the best avenue to get your money back?
No.
I don't have it in my back pocket.
Something will happen.
Okay.
We're going to be busy.
One more quick call if we can just, BJ, thank you for your call. I just wanted to talk to Maurice because this may be representative of other people. Maurice, are you there?
Yes, John. Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Listen, in 2018, I had some eye surgery done, and my out-of-pocket cost through my insurance plan was about $2,800. I didn't file it then, but I'm wondering, can I amend that on this year's taxes, or it's too late?
I'm not going to give you that specific tax advice. First of all, if it's not, it was $7,500. I'm trying to remember, a percentage of your adjusted gross income makes those kinds of expenses deductible. But I can't remember what the percentage was for 2018. If it was a small part of your income, there's no point in going back to it. You can always amend a previous return. It's a cost of getting an accountant to do it for you. So it's important to keep track of medical costs and everything that's deductible. Back then, I can't remember the percentage.
But that's my question. Is everybody able to deduct medical expenses? Is there a threshold? How does that work?
Oh, there is. It's a percentage of your adjusted gross income that allows you the excess over a percentage of your adjusted gross income. And if I had three more minutes and a commercial break, I could give you the exact number because it changed a year or two ago.
But the point is, if $2,800 is a high enough percentage, then maybe some of that is deductible, right?
It depends. Yes, it absolutely does depend. But it's the unreimbursed medical expenses as a percent of your adjusted gross income, the excess of which would be deductible. And I can't give you the formula right now.
Okay, that's good. As long as it's not too late.
Talk to a tax preparer. If it's worth paying a few $100 to get an amended return filed, sure. And a reminder to everybody else out there who didn't file 2017 tax returns.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't file because you didn't think you owed enough to file, but maybe you worked a little bit and there's money that you would get refunded that was withheld. So be sure if you didn't file 2017, you've got till May 17th, of course, May 17th to file your 2020 return, and May 17th to give yourself a big deduction by opening an individual retirement account that's deductible that might put you below that $75,000 level or the $150,000.
Yeah, yeah. Ding, ding, ding. Time's up.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. There goes Terry Savage. She would do that all day. We just can't. It's time for a quick update on WGN Radio Business News. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, and we continue to roll with Ryan Burrow.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Chicago-based United Airlines is planning to bring in hundreds of pilots as part of a new flight school as the airline looks to bring in its next generation of flyers. The move comes after the company furloughed thousands of workers during the pandemic. Another sign that businesses and the economy are reopening, Metra says it's adding service on three lines starting next week to the BNSF, Milwaukee District North, and North Central service lines during the morning and afternoon rush hours. Indianapolis wants you to pay a visit to check out their music scene. The Indy Music Strategy Committee is executing a three-year plan for economic development surrounding Indy's music industry. That includes multi-day music events and venues with local artists. On this National Beer Day, Molson Coors is launching its first USDA-certified organic beer called Coors Pure. It's marketing to runners to participate in a beer run running in the shape of a Coors Pure can for a chance to receive a free 12-pack. I'm Ryan Breaux. That's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Yeah, today's connection between the farm and your belly, as Ryan mentioned, is so big it deserves a drum roll. There we go. It's National Beer Day. If you're observing, please do so responsibly. Yesterday, we talked about the possibility of a corn shortage, and one factor making the experts fear that is a possible dry summer across the corn and soybean belt. And that's how we're starting off. The latest USDA topsoil moisture map shows 35 states with poor to very poor topsoil moisture. Illinois is one of them. Brad Rippey is the meteorologist who puts the soil moisture numbers together.
Topsoil moisture rated 17%, very short to short in Illinois. And those numbers go considerably higher as you go to the north and west. Wisconsin, 32%, Iowa, 33%, Minnesota, 43%, and then you get to the highest in the nation in North Dakota, 92%, very short to short.
Not good numbers, but help is on the way.
Yeah, this slow-moving system this week is going to bring beneficial moisture to just about all areas of the Midwest. Looks like the highest total should be concentrated on the upper Mississippi Valley. There we could see in showers and thunderstorms as much as 1 to 3 inches of rain.
Yeah, Brad also keeps track of soil temperature. He says southern Illinois right now is in the 50s. That's enough to plant corn. Northern Illinois, it's going to take another week or two, perhaps, before the planters can roll. Crops and critters, corn is up a nickel. Beans are down about 9. Wheat is trading up about 2. Eth and Burke hogs are up about 78 cents a hundred. Live cattle are up a quarter, and feeder cattle are up 45 cents. And that's the business of food on 720 WGN.
I like to dance. I don't do tap dancing. I don't do Irish step, but every now and then, Brendan, I ballroom dance. Imagine how people who teach dance and enjoy dancing have been impacted by a pandemic that says you got to stay 6 feet away from people. Let's talk a little bit about this with Star Dixon, assistant director and founding member of Mad Rhythms, M-A-D-D Rhythms. MadRhythms.com is the dance company. Hey, Star, you're on WGN. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Before any of this gets away, let's remind people, April 9th at 8 o'clock, you have a live stream. Is that right?
Yes, we are live streaming our tap jam, which is just basically a bunch of tap dancers who come together and we're improvising. We've got live musicians coming, Justin Dillard, Junius Paul, and we're just going to jam.
You are billed as, and I have no reason to argue with this, Chicago's premier tap dance company. How many students do you have? Talk to me a little bit about your numbers.
How many students do we have? Well, since the pandemic, we definitely have a lower amount of students. Everyone hasn't returned to class yet, which obvious reasons.
Yeah.
So I would say about now we maybe have around 20, 25-ish students.
Are they learning online? Were you able to teach online? Or what did you do during the pandemic?
Well, for a long time, we just didn't have class at all because we kind of just didn't know what we were going to do. And we were kind of working on just rebranding and rebuilding everything. But when we started classes back, we do have people that come in person and we have some that attend on Zoom.
You guys have a relationship with Vans, the shoe company, right?
Yeah, we recently entered a competition where organizations, they pick an organization to design a shoe, and then they sell the shoe, and proceeds of it benefit our company. Well, go to our company.
So how do I get the shoe?
You just go to the Vans website.
I've got the URL here, vans.com/footthebill, right? Vans.com/footthebill. I'm looking at your shoe. If this is your shoe, this is pretty good.
Thank you. It was a collaborative effort. A few of us stayed back after rehearsal one day and just spit out ideas.
I didn't know it was that easy. I don't think it is. and that's not a tap shoe. That's more like a high-top sneaker I'm looking at, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So I guess this is for broader use. That's good for you.
Yeah, so anybody can buy it, yeah.
So are you doing in-person teaching now?
I am.
So where
for Mad Rhythms, we have our classes on Saturday mornings, Thursday evenings, and Wednesday afternoons.
Vans.com/footthebill. Are you in one location or a bunch of locations?
We are located at the Harold Washington Cultural Center in Bronzeville on the corner of 47th and King Drive. Big, beautiful building with lots of windows.
What's the age range of most of your students?
We start at 2 years old. We just recently started our toddler class called Tap for Tots. And so, yeah, we start them at 2 years old. And we have our Wednesday morning classes have a lot of older people in it. So, like, my mom takes that class and, like, a lot of people who are, like, 60 and 70.
I'll bet that's great exercise.
It definitely is.
And it's probably fun to engage, especially as we can do it more in person now. Do you have to wear the mask when you're dancing with your all-star?
We do. We keep a mask on during class and in rehearsal.
That's smart. Star Dixon is the assistant director, founding member of MADD. That's Mad Rhythms. Visit madrhythms.com. Check out these shoes and help them out. Vans.com/footthebill. Good luck to you all, Star. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.